And away we go, hour number three of our radio program. That's right, it is a Zach Gelb show on the Infinity Sports Network. How about the Sun Devils at Arizona State? They were picked dead last before the season started to win the Big 12. They end up winning the Big 12. Now they are off to the college football playoff, and they have a bye. So they don't have to play in the first round as the four seed on the bracket. And now joining us is one of their star wide receivers, Xavier Guillory, who in the Big 12 championship game had two catches. Both of those catches were touchdowns. So how about those numbers for efficiency? And he's kind enough to join us right now. Xavier, first off, congratulations. I would say how you're doing, but things got to be going pretty well right now with what the Sun Devils have been throughout this season.
Yes, sir. That's an awesome experience that we're how far we've came, from where people had us preseason to where we're at now. We knew what we had beforehand, so it's like no surprise to what the success that we have and the foundation we built upon. But I'm just glad that we're getting the wins and the championships, and I was just kind of continue to forward. And we're not done yet; still got the CFP to go through, and I'm excited to see what we can do.
Why did you believe in this team? Because you said you guys knew you were always capable of being able to pull this off and have this in you. When everyone's saying you can't do this, you can't do that, this team's going to finish last in the Big 12, why did this program, why did you believe?
Just it starts with the head man, Kenny, Coach Dillingham. He reset the foundation for what he wanted this team and this culture to be. We got the people that wanted to be here, and we got the people that didn't want to, fit the culture out. And so we got the right people that wanted to buy into what Coach Dillingham and, we saw his character and who he was as a person last year. We didn't have the best season, but he still, came in with the energy every single day. And, we got guys healthy. We got guys that came in through the portal that were big helps. And so from what we saw from January, all the way to, where we're at now, we started from the foundation, reset, and we built from there. And from there, it was just a player-led team. The coaches obviously came in and coached us up, but it really started with the leaders on our team, and our best players stepped up and took that leadership role, and everybody pretty much followed suit throughout the workouts and the winter, spring, and summer time. So the results that you're seeing now is just a product of what we put, the work that we put in during the offseason.
I know this isn't your first stop on your college football journey, but a few years ago when you first met Kenny Dillingham, when he was taking over the program, and you said, okay, I'm going to go to Arizona State, like, what were the first impressions that you had of him?
It's just, he was a genuine. He just was upfront. I was out of high school, obviously went through the recruiting process, then I went through it again out of the portal leaving Idaho State. So I kind of knew what coaches were about. Some coaches sell you a dream, and some other coaches just tell you what you want to hear. But Coach Kenny kept it real. Like, he was, he just knew, he was a definition of a player's coach, and he wanted people like me who may not have been the highest, rated recruits, but he saw for what I was worth and what I could be. And now I'm sure that's a testament for like a lot of other people on this team, that a lot of our guys, a lot of our best players, Scat, Xavion Alford, Keyshawn Elliott, Miles Rouser, Javon Robinson, Sam Levitt. We have a lot of guys that were slept on out of the portal or out of high school that may not have gotten love at their old school, but they came here, Coach Dillingham believed in them, and got the best out of them. And that's what a coach is supposed to be, is taking, getting the best out of your players. And that's exactly what Coach Dillingham did. Got the right coaches on the staff that, for my position, Coach Ward, he got the right people on the staff that knew how to develop and, kind of get the best out of each player. And that's just the results you're seeing this year.
Yeah, you say Coach Ward, he should be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. For people that don't know, yeah, Hines Ward is on staff at Arizona State. What is it like with the guy who was so good, so great, I should say, for so many years, yeah, to be able to use him as a resource and get to learn from him?
It's just, it's going beyond football now to where you're kind of just looking up at him as like a mentor. There's coaches, but then there's guys that come around like Coach Ward who's done it. All of us wish to have the career that he had, Super Bowls, MVPs, going to be in the Hall of Fame, Pro Bowls. Like, all of us want the career that he has. So when he talks and gives you advice, you listen. And he's not just saying that just because that's what coaches are saying. He really did it. So when he tells us to block or tells us to give more effort, it's not that he knows what it takes to be on a championship level team. So getting advice and getting coached every day by him is really just like a blessing. I know you could ask Jordan Tyson, Melkon Stovall, everybody else that's benefited from him. We've all improved from when he got here to where we're at now. It's just up from top to bottom, where everybody's improved by his coaching and his care about developing us.
And he also won Dancing with the Stars. And I remember he once told me that
Yeah.
he never even went to his high school prom. So does Coach still have the dance moves since he won Dancing with the Stars? Did you see him dance a little bit after
I
winning the
mean,
Big 12 championship?
he was having his fun, especially after I scored. I saw on a film of him jumping up and down. So he still got some athleticism in there and stuff. So I'm not sure about dancing on the stars athleticism. I did he did show that to us. And but yeah, Coach Duke got some moves, but I don't know how much moves he got left.
That's unbelievable. Xavier Guillory with us. What was Idaho State like? Just wondering. Like, what do you take from your time there on the FCS level before landing with a big program like Arizona State?
So I think that what the FCS, going there taught me just like work ethic. And if you want to, you will, you'll find a way. So I feel like a lot of like players today may get catered to too much. But the FCS level, especially Idaho State, we didn't have like the lunch table, the your own nutrition table, your own NIL car, your own, you had to like figure it out. There's times I had to walk to practice. There's times I had to, find a way to get more food. And, but, we had to share our weight room with every other sport. So it just taught you how to, grind. And like when nobody cares or watches, because nobody really came to our games, no media was really there. So you had to like really fall in love with the game. So by the time I got to ASU and they did have all that stuff that players get, nutrition table, all the facilities, the 24-hour access, all that stuff. I was like a kid at a candy store. I was just so happy that I was able to have those resources. And I'm glad it taught me just how to, grind, and it taught me how to really, appreciate what I had and not take anything for granted.
Nah, it's unbelievable answer. Xavier Guillory here with us. So I know it's now been obviously more than a few days when you still hear it. Arizona State, Big 12 champions, and you guys are going to the playoff and you have a bye. How do you process winning that championship?
Just like any other win, this team is different than any other team I've been on, because when we win, we care about it for a day, maybe the next day a little bit, then we're all hungry for the next one. And so it's just like never really being satisfied or content, being happy with what we've earned. Obviously, we're all very like grateful for, winning that. That's not something we take lightly. But then again, we know there's still more ball to be played. And I feel that's what separated us from a lot of teams this year, is just our hunger to get better. Like we're all hungry. Like I said, a lot of our guys on this team, didn't get the love that they might have thought they could have gotten out of the portal or out of high school stuff. So the we got a lot of hungry dudes on this team that want to go out there and prove it to the world that what we can do, what they can do individually, but most importantly as a unit. And so we're excited for this next game, and that's really what we're focused on. We're gonna have this little break, obviously. Got 3 weeks that first round bye, but we're taking our time to get our bodies right, everything getting prepared for January 1st.
So you guys lost your best wide receiver, Jordan Tyson. We know the season he was having, and then right at the end of the year, unfortunately, he gets hurt. What was the mentality really of the team to still get the production that we saw on offense, even though you didn't have Jordan this past week?
Yeah, so we knew what we all could do individually, and obviously beyond just teammates. Jordan Tyson's really close friend of ours, brother, like basically just our brother. So obviously when he went down, we went through so much together during the offseason and during the season. It was tough to see him go, but he'd be the first one to tell you that like the next man up. And like nobody was nervous when when he went down. Obviously, you have a receiver as high production like he did, but we all were confident in ourselves, and we knew if we just got the opportunity, what we could do. And a lot of the guys this year got that opportunity. Malik McClain got his opportunity, made a big play. Melkon Stovall had about 100 yards that game. And then I got my opportunity. So it's just the next man up. Just like this is the game we play. We know since we were kids that you can get injured at any moment. So it's just being ready for your opportunity, not having no drop off, especially with a receiver who's as productive as Jordan Tyson, arguably one of the best receivers, if not the best receiver in the Big 12 or in the country. So we didn't want any drop off, especially before the Big 12 championship game. But this past game just gave us reassurance that, okay, we got multiple guys that can play and be productive for this team. And then, so it was just a testament to Coach Arroyo, his play calling, and Sam Leavitt's ability to adapt and stuff. So it was an awesome game experience for our whole receiving group as a core.
Wrap it up with Xavier Guillory. You had those two touchdowns. The first one was pretty damn cool. The second one, man, that was some catch. Take me through the second touchdown because, I was watching that. I'm like, wait, he just did that? Like, it was very impressive.
So that those are the stuff, like I said, like plays I made in games before at Idaho State, and obviously I wish I could have had more at Arizona State. But just like I said, just getting your weight, getting your opportunity. Those plays I make all the time and in practice and stuff. So when I made it, it was like I didn't realize what I did until I saw the the replay. But it was something I practice. You can ask my teammates; they'll catch me in the facility catching 500 to 1,000 balls in a day. Just I take my craft serious. So when I do make plays like that, it feels good. Just all the work that you put in getting paid, paying off in such a setting like that stuff. So I was glad I was able to finally put it on film, on tape, and show people that I can make plays like that, and at a consistent rate.
Yeah, and it's also neat, right, when you ball out in a performance in a stage like that and you have that performance. You talked about getting no coverage at Idaho State. Even throughout this year, right, there's attention on other guys just with some of the players you have on this team. And, I've seen the story. You're a Native American athlete. You did the celebration in the end zone twice. Just kind of tell me about your upbringing and a little bit more about your story.
So I come from the Nez Perce Reservation. That's where my people from. Both my parents grew up on the reservation. I'm Native and African American, but I love putting on for my Nez Perce people, and not just my tribe, but indigenous people all over the country, and just letting them know there's not a whole lot of Native American athletes playing at my level or at the pro level. So I wanted to, give a nod to them every time I do my celebration, just to let them know that natives can ball, and we're out here doing. Can do it if you put your mind to it. You can do anything, even play at a high level. And it's just that belief that I want other kids, people that I grew up watching. I want kids to, grow up watching me play, and I want them to have somebody to look up to. And I want to do it right, and I wanted to be a good role model, not just on the field but off the field too, stuff. So it means a lot to me to put on for my people when I'm out there.
That's a great answer. Xavier Guillory here with us. Just want to ask you about two of your teammates before we let you run. Cam Scataboo. I watch him. Tremendous leader, tremendous toughness, right? The heart and soul of the football team. Just give me your perspective of playing with Cam, who, man, he's been fun to watch this year. And really going back to last year, too.
It's just who Cam is at the core. Like, me and him were both in the Big Sky Conference and the FCS level. He went to Sac State, I went to Idaho State. So I saw him since my freshman year, 2020, 2021. He's always been like that. He's always made plays, just like I said, but just getting that opportunity to finally put it on a national stage. Cam is just, he's a different, he's my favorite teammate that I've gotten to play with. It's honestly like I get the best seats in the house just watching him make the plays. I get to block field down the field for him, and he's just an amazing player, and I think he's gonna have a long NFL career. He's just and just who he is as a person too, like you said, what he brings to the team, the energy, the that kind of swag that we want ASU to have. He brings that every single day, and that's just something that we all can get behind, and we all want to every player to have that type of that hunger and that confidence and that perseverance that he has. He's just a tough dude, battles through injuries and runs through people's faces and stuff. So he's a dog, and he's my favorite player to, one of my favorite teammates ever, stuff. So it's been really awesome.
So I love your coach. His personality is infectious, but you've said it, and it's really stuck with me through this interview. You have a lot of guys on this team that were overlooked, that were doubted, have a chip on their shoulder, and you guys all come together, and it's just a fun team to watch. I got a chance to talk to your quarterback about a month ago, I would say, Sam Leavitt. He's another one of those guys.
Yeah.
Man, the confidence is all the way up here, and you could tell there's just a chip on his shoulder, and he's looking to prove everybody wrong.
Yeah. Sam Leavitt, yeah. Like, when he first got in, like you said, that confidence, we were like, who is this kid that came in, just transferred through the portal, just like, you know, talking crazy to everybody. Oh, I'm better than you at this, man. Y'all can't bet. Like,
he told me he's going to be the number one pick of the draft. That's his goal.
Yeah. I mean, you'd rather have a player like that than trying to push somebody to get confident. So it's easier to like hold somebody back than to push them forward and stuff. So that's what makes him so good, is that his confidence in himself. And you see it on game day. It comes to fruition. Like, a lot of the stuff that he says about himself comes out on game day. And he prepares like it. It's not like he's not preparing. The dude works hard. It's not a surprise. Sometimes you go at the facility at night and he's in there by himself, you know, doing mobility or like doing extra work when nobody else is watching, no cameras are on, and he doesn't really care about the limelight. Like, he was a grinder before anybody else, like, you know, really cared about who he was and stuff. So, but now that he does get, you know, all that love, he's still working the same stuff. So I love who he is as an athlete, man. He puts in the right work and he does it right. Yeah, so I think he's another one that's going to have a great collegiate career and a great NFL career, in my opinion.
There's a lot of people, when the bracket came out, Xavier Guillory, that said, hey, Texas, Penn State, they got easy roads. They'll win the first round, and then they have Boise State and Arizona State standing in the way. For people that still doubt your Arizona State football team, what do you say to them?
Please keep doing that, because that's what we feed off of, man. We don't want your love. We didn't need it before. Just keep doubting us. That's what we feed off of, and I love when we have that chip on our shoulder. And I don't think we'll ever lose that with Coach Dillingham. It starts with Dillingham. I love what he does, and the hunger that he brings is just like the rest of us. He's just like a competitive, probably even more competitive than some of the guys on the team. Like, the dude competes, and so we'll be fine. We need is each other and stuff. So I'm excited what we can do just on our own.
Now, no one thought you could win the Big 12. Now everyone's going to say you can't win the national championship. Why can this team win it all this year?
Just what we bring, man. We, like, you got the X's and O's. You can scheme up, but you can't teach people, like, coming down, hitting you. Can't teach receivers giving extra effort on the blocks. You can't teach the O-line to run 70 yards down the field to run block for the running back. It's just something that we got, man. And we just – it's special, and it's a special group. And we got the talent, too. It's not just we're all out here – just a bunch of Rudies. Like, we got a lot of talent out here that can play on Sunday, and just giving effort stuff. So it's a great team to be a part of, and I'm just glad I'm on this side.
Happy for your success. Happy for your team's success. Good luck the rest of the way. Really appreciate the time. Wonderful conversation.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for having me.
You got it. There he is, Xavier Guillory on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Man, holy smokes, that was impressive. Now, that was a really good conversation. And let me tell you, that Arizona State team with that coach, Kenny Dillingham, they got a mentality. They got a killer's mentality, too. And that's a lot of guys that were overlooked at Arizona State, and they're balling out in a big way. This is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We'll take a break. When we come on back, we'll update you some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. We'll do a news brief next. Football season is in full swing. You take full advantage by winning some cash with Sleeper Picks. Sleeper Picks is a fantasy game, but you can win real money. Just pick more or less than at least two of your favorite player stats. If you're right, you could win. You can pick up to 8 players to win up to 100 times your money. For a limited time, Sleeper has a special offer. New users just have to play $5, and they'll receive $55 in free bonus entries. That's right. If you deposit $25 and play $5, they'll give you 11 $5 bonus entries to start playing. So download the Sleeper app now and use promo code SCORE and get it on this promo before time runs out. What are you waiting for? Download Sleeper today and unlock one of the fastest growing fantasy sports apps in the world. Use code SCORE to claim the play $5, get $55 bonus entry offer. That's code SCORE. Must be at least 18 years old in most states and present in state where it is legal to wager. Promo code, location, and other restrictions apply. Minimum deposit $25. See terms and use for details at sleeper.com. Please play responsibly. Call 1-800-426-2537 for help. Sponsored by Sleeper, a Blitz product.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
All righty, Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Network. Up in Adams with Kay Adams. Had Davante Adams on. Here is Davante Adams on going from the Raiders, one bleep show, to the next in the New York Jets.
It's just like you going to war and somebody saying, you got a knife and everybody else got rifles. And then somebody finds a rifle and they hand you a rifle and you say, all right, great. So you start going and you go to shoot the rifle and it jams up. That's like saying, oh, damn, I should have just kept my knife. Like, no, you did the right thing by grabbing the rifle. That thing just didn't work the way you intended it to. And sometimes that happens. And you got to live with that and go from there. And that's kind of where I am.
Stu. He just doesn't get it. Here's why he doesn't get it. Sure. You wanted to leave the Raiders? You can't fault him for wanting to leave the Raiders, right? You're a Raiders fan. You can't fault him for that, correct?
No.
And going to the Jets when he did. I didn't agree with it. I said, hey, you should pick another quarterback that's going to be around longer than that. But you wanted to be pals with your best friend. But even if you wanted to say, oh, you wanted to reunite with Aaron and that's why you did it. Okay, fine. I can at least respect it. His mistake was he was in a palace. He was in Green Bay. And because his feelings got hurt, because they spent all the time dealing with Rodgers bitching and complaining, and they eventually made him an offer, he left more money on the table to leave, you should have never left the first place. That's the root of the problem. So you could talk about this war with the knife and the gun and then it misfiring and how it wasn't the wrong decision. Well, you were in a palace. You were protected from ever exposing yourself to be getting hit with the knife or hit with the bullet with the gun. And you said to the security, when the security said, do not leave Mr. Adams in the Palace of Green Bay. We can't protect you if you leave. You said, I'm out. That's the problem. It's not once you did when you left. It's the fact that you left. And you should have never, ever, 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 ever left the Green Bay Packers. Steelers, Eagles, this weekend at Lincoln Financial Field. I'll be in attendance for this one. Here is Mike Tomlin with high praise of Saquon Barkley.
The acquisition of Saquon Barkley has got to be the most significant acquisition in the NFL in 2024. That's what the tape looks like. He's been dominant, eye-opening at times, obviously. Highlight reel caliber plays, long runs, touchdowns, etc. It starts there for us. If you don't minimize him in some way, you're not even going to position yourself to have a chance to be successful.
So, yeah, everyone's praising Saquon Barkley right now. That's just going to be the case. That's going to be a fun one coming up this weekend. All right, real quickly, let's go around the room. Botcher, Steelers-Eagles. Who do you think wins this game?
Steelers.
Okay. Stu, Steelers-Eagles.
I think the Eagles win.
I think the Eagles are going to win. I got to be careful because I got a lot of friends in Philadelphia. I wouldn't mind if the Steelers won this game, though. Because I saw some of the videos of A.J. Brown today in the locker room. And we'll play that audio in the last segment. But A.J. Brown, he had about 500 media members around. I'm being a little hyperbolic, but there was a lot of media members there. And if they lose this game after this week of problems with Brandon Graham and Jalen Hurts and also A.J. Brown, it's just an interesting response then week for the Philadelphia Eagles. Let's go to Amon-Ra St. Brown on the St. Brown podcast talking about who he'd rather play in the playoffs.
Who would you rather play in the playoffs, Packers or Vikings?
Well, we haven't played the Vikings the second time yet.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I would probably say the Vikings. I mean, they're both, bro, playing a division team in the playoffs, it gets nutty. You don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't know what's going to happen.
I'm surprised you would admit that. Now, I respect someone that does a podcast and they understand their role there is to be a podcast host and operate a show that I would do and like a podcast I would host with giving an honest answer. But the fact that you are an NFL player and you said it, that's where it gets a little dicey. And I'm surprised you'd rather have play the Packers than the Vikings. Wait, no, he said he'd rather play the Packers? That's what he said, right? Or was it he'd rather play the Vikings, Potcher?
He said he hasn't played the Vikings twice, but either way, a divisional game is crazy.
Play that one more time. I got to rehear that real quickly. Play it. Sorry.
Who would you rather play in playoffs, Packers or Vikings?
Well, we haven't played the Vikings a second time yet. But I would probably say the Vikings. I mean, they're both, bro, playing a division team in the playoffs is gets nutty.
So, yeah, he did say he'd rather play the Vikings. Packers or Vikings right now? No offense. I know Jordan Love's really damn good. The Vikings look like a better team. I'd rather play the Packers. Let's go to Chase Daniels. He was on the facility on FS1, and he was making the case for the Minnesota Vikings, who Amon-Ra St. Brown would rather play over the Green Bay Packers in the playoffs, for signing Sam Darnold to a long-term deal.
Commit to him long-term. 2 to 3 years is long-term for me, right, in this league. The most important thing for a quarterback is, can you win? Okay, after that, they're winning. And no one thought they would do that, especially after they got rid of Kirk Cousins. I love the way Sam Darnold's playing in Kevin O'Connell's offense. So if you sign him back, I think it's the right move. He's making a case not only for the Minnesota Vikings to resign him, but for other teams, these quarterback-needy teams, Giants, Jets, Browns, Raiders, to go out there and get him. You got to look at the draft situation next year with these quarterbacks. Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders, Quinn Ewers, Carson Beck, maybe? It's not a great class top to bottom. So all these teams are going to need quarterbacks. When you put it on tape, even if it's for a small portion of the time, teams are excited about that.
That's going to be a fascinating one, because I think the Vikings have set up their team where they don't want to pay big money to the quarterback. And you just drafted J.J. McCarthy with the 10th overall pick. You have Sam Darnold there. Sam's deserving of a bigger contract, and he's going to get paid a lot of money. And I could see why, like, the Minnesota Vikings say, hey, if it's not broke, don't fix it. But I think they're going to try to fix it this offseason. I think Sam's going to go somewhere else. Whether that's right or wrong, you could be the judge of that one. Ashton Jeanty was on the edge with Micah Parsons. Ashton Jeanty started out his year going on our show. Now he's on Micah Parsons' podcast. It's kind of funny. Ashton Jeanty makes the case for winning the Heisman over Travis Hunter.
You go week by week, you watch the film. By week four, I wasn't seeing anything less than 8-man box. So that means the whole defense, every single week, is geared towards stopping me, and they still couldn't. Some, they might have, you know, slowed me down, but I won't even say that, because some games I just didn't play my best, which is human nature. But I just feel like there's that, and then people want to talk about the conferences, okay, whatever. But, you know, when I played in ranked games, you know, against ranked teams, I put up big numbers against them and proved that it doesn't matter who that I'm playing against. You know, I'm a great player on the field.
And let's go finally, Rich Clark, the College Football Playoff Executive Director, and the possibility of a 14-team playoff. This was him speaking at a Sports Business Journal's Intercollegiate Athletics Forum.
The commissioners are going to look at it, right? They're going to step back. We're going to give them some options and some other things that they could do. But in the end, they're going to look at whether 14 is a better number. I'm sure they'll look at it. That doesn't mean that that's the foregone conclusion. But after they see the results of this season and this playoff, they're going to say, how can we make it even better? Not just better for the playoff, like I said, as a standalone event, but for all of college football and the regular season. And we'll make some good decisions on that, I'm sure. But we have to see how this playoff goes and then do a really analytical look at it and go, how can we get better? And I know 14 will be one of the options. Staying at 12 will be one of the options. And then there's probably some other options in between or maybe on the periphery of that. But we're going to look at everything and see what can we do to make it better.
Yeah, I'll tell you what their analytics are. Money, 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 money. That's what it is right there. They're going to keep on expanding this sucker because there's more money to be made. All right, let's fade that out because Ryan Botcher, I need my breaking news sounder. We have breaking news on the show.
We have breaking news on the Zach Gelb Show.
Perfectly worded by Adam Schefter. Shefty. Chapel Bill. I like that. Six-time Super Bowl winning head coach Bill Belichick is finalizing a deal to become the new head coach at North Carolina. Sources tell Pete Thamel and Chris Lowe, Belichick is going back to school. Back to school. Back to school. To where his father served as an assistant coach in the 1950s. We could fade down the breaking news music and the sounder. Here's my first reaction, Marco. And we've talked about this now all throughout the week. I kind of find the wording still funny. He's finalizing a deal. It feels like he's been finalizing a deal all throughout the day. Is like you're finalizing a deal. So this is going to happen, but the deal still isn't finalized. So, I know that Schefter just put this out there, but how is it any different from than where we were like 5 hours ago?
This is the weirdest courting I've ever seen for a high-profile coach in my life. I've never seen coming out from strange areas where the reports are, the way that they report it, the way that they're talking. This thing started where the resolution would be expected at some point this week, but they still are just in the talking phase. We were all over the map on this thing.
Yeah.
And it's Bill Belichick. You would think it would be quiet and then all of a sudden it would explode, or we knew exactly what was going on every step of the way. This is not just some guy getting hired at North Carolina. This is a 6-time Super Bowl winner. I've never seen a stranger courting, whatever you want to, marriage that these two are wind up, that now is going to be finalized. It's been the weirdest road I've ever seen.
It's bizarre. We will at some point tonight get a photo of Belichick, right, photoshopped in a Tar Heel hoodie or a polo or a visor. There will be some announcement tonight from UNC that this is a done deal, but still, Schefter just putting it, they're finalizing a deal. This is going to happen.
Again, yeah, I would think so, but it was also, when you say like Schefter was a little, it seemed like all the big-time reporters were slow on this whole thing to begin with, because they kept saying like, as much as we were hearing the stuff trickling out of Carolina, it was, yeah, but there's so much more to do. So it was almost like the Carolina reports, maybe they were a little closer to the situation, or they were jumping the gun a bit, and the Schefters of the world, the Rappaports of the world were like, guys, there's a lot more to do. So that's why they were waiting to report. Either way, it's odd.
I know it is an NFL story, but it's also not an NFL story. So like, it doesn't surprise me that UNC inside Carolina had it first today, because as being someone that has been on breaking news beats for college football when I was at Temple, even though it's Bill and you run a program as I control every message, there's a lot of people that have their hands in the cookie jar in the college world, more than people could imagine, that get information and love to talk to people.
100%, but it's usually by 10, 15 minutes, not by 14 hours.
Fair.
That was the weird part. It's not, look, a story coming out from inside the school and 10 minutes later, Schefter has her, that makes the total sense. We're talking like 14 hours, 12 hours, 8 hours. Nothing was changing, and that didn't make any sense. That was the part that did. The Inside Carolina story that came out today was what, 5 hours ago?
Yeah, a while ago.
What took so long? You're telling me Schefter didn't see it and text somebody? You're telling me that some of the... So I get the idea that they
Schefter
would have
had other
first
tweets throughout the day, but it
and
was...
And he was on, and I saw him, and it was still like, guys,
we
there's a lot
waiting
more to do.
Nothing against whatsoever the website that put this out there. But for most of, like, for Inside Carolina, because they were right. And, right, they have 139,000 followers. Like, mm-hmm. like they are... Like, I'm not saying they're not credible, but for us, like, in the national landscape, when you see football news, it's just the way that – it's not that other people can't get it, right? I've had stories and I've beat these guys, Rappaport and Schefter, who I like and, you know, I know them. But there's sometimes that you get information before them. But in terms of how we consume information, we are really in the line of – unless if we see it from Schefter, Rappaport, Pelissero, and Glazer, we usually don't believe it until one of those four get it. And it did take a while for these guys to confirm it.
Again, it's confirmation, but usually when something like that happens, we're talking within minutes or within a half hour. For it to go as long as it did, that's why everybody started to get skeptical of whether or not this was legit, because those guys are so tapped in, all the ones that you named, and there's a lot more too. Again, that aside, just the way this whole thing is still gone and the fact that it's still ongoing.
Yeah.
Still is a little bit odd when you're considering that it's Belichick.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like, well, he's also got to get out of his contract. He's a free agent. He can do whatever the hell he wants. So that's, again,
Omaha Productions.
Yeah, it's odd. I don't think he had to call Pat McAfee and say, can I take this job?
Omaha, I got
to
go.
It's a little odd the way this whole thing has kind of played out. And to be fair, it's a little odd Belichick going to North Carolina. That in and of itself is weird.
You could have gave me 1,000 guesses this time last year, and I don't know if I would have got UNC.
Zach, I got to be fair. When these reports first came out, I admit, the first thing I thought of was, it's North Carolina trying to show, look, there are people that are interested in this job.
Oh, yeah.
And Bill Belichick putting up a flag saying, guys, I still exist. So someone come get me. I never, ever in a million years thought that this thing would come to fruition from what? Mm-hmm. Thursday of last week when we first got wind of this? Never, ever did I think that this was coming to fruition.
So Jordan Schultz was one of the first bigger national names to kind of talk about this and report on this. He now has, Belichick has agreed to become the next head coach at the University of North Carolina, multiple sources tell NFL on Fox, a new era in college football. So I'm not saying that that means it's donezo, but it's going
to
happen.
Again, all signs pointed to it all day long.
That's the most distinct one.
Yes, there's a lot less of the finalized, almost done, getting closer. That sounds more of the typical reports of Belichick is reportedly going to be the new head coach. Like, it's simple wording, which is what you usually get from reporters as opposed to a lot of the mumbo jumbo.
Well, he was the first. Remember that earlier in the week, it was Belichick has agreed. Now it's up to see if UNC is going to agree. Which is, it's like, hey, Marco, I agree you to pay me $1 million.
Yeah,
like, great.
Which is part of the reason that's why. Like, some of the reporting, like, who agreed to what now? And then you got to go back, but there's still 400 pages worth of things they got to figure out. Like, what? Can you call me when something's close? Like, what are we doing here? Like, who? What do you mean they agreed? Well, he's still got to agree. A lot of it didn't make sense.
Okay. So this is from Matt Hayes, who is a senior national college football writer for USA Today. I'm not going to tell you I'm really familiar with this work. So UNC's NIL package for football, I guess the last year was $4 million. What do you think they agreed to increase it to? From $4 million to what in order to get Bill Belichick?
I mean, maybe I'm crazy. I would say 20.
Marco Belletti from downtown. Yes. Sources tell UNC, according to Matt Hayes, that they'll increase their NIL package for football from $4 million to $20 million in effort to land Bill Belichick the Chapel Bill.
You're not getting him cheap.
No, yeah.
He's not going there to go 3-9. You know, Jeff Fisher, like, we're not going 7-9. Like, I don't think he's going.
Well,
I don't think
Jeff Fisher did.
Yeah. Well, I don't think he wants to do that. So yeah. I think he's got to try to set himself up. He wants to coach. This is obvious that Belichick just wants to be on the sideline, wants to do the X's and O's, wants to be there to be able to put the game plan, the scheme. He lives for it, but he lives for winning that. He doesn't live for just doing it and then to get his ass kicked. So I would imagine there's all kinds of stipulations, and if he gets what he wants, which is obviously what's going to happen, he's going to get players. You give him players, he will figure out ways to scheme up wins.
And also, give credit to Ollie Connolly, because he was like one of the first guys to be on this story as well, and he had a lot of good context from the jump. Ian Rappaport's now saying former Patriot coach, will see his wording, Bill Belichick, the greatest coach of all time, will become the next coach at the University of North Carolina, sources say the deal is done. So you got more distinct wording from Super Bowls to college football, just like Bill Walsh, just like Deion Sanders, now Belichick. So there you go on that. Oh, yeah, and by the way, Juan Soto has officially, according to John Heyman, passed his physical. So now the Mets deal is done.
I heard press conference Thursday. So if you want to get started on that.
I heard it at Thursday, what, 3 p.m. Eastern?
I did, but I also think that may or may not be true because the winter meetings kind of wrap up tomorrow. So I feel like they probably want to get everybody back.
Let's do it next week.
Do they want to wait on a Friday dump? I don't know.
Well, let's do it next week. I got a flight, a train to catch tomorrow after the show to go to Army-Navy Radio Row. And let's, if we can, I know the last time I went to a Met press conference to introduce someone, it did not go all that well because I asked Carlos Beltran, or I asked Brody Van Wagenen, why didn't Joe Girardi get the job when they hired Carlos Beltran, which was, the Beltran tenure didn't really last all that long. But can we get, you know, Tuesday and Monday, 11 a.m. press conference so Zach Gelb could go?
I don't know. And it wasn't official. This is obviously, they needed to pass the physical first, which is, everybody had said that it was pretty much done. Heyman's got it, so it's obviously completely finished. I don't know if they get everything wrapped up in time for tomorrow.
Okay.
Especially with the winter meetings still going on. I mean, they're still there through tonight. Tomorrow morning is basically when they fly out.
Mm-hmm.
But do the Mets want to fly out early for this?
Do they do this over Zoom?
They could.
Mm-hmm.
I would think for $765 million.
Get your ass to the stadium.
Might want to show up in person to hold up the jersey.
Yeah.
Just for me.
And you, unlike the Yankees, we'll have a luxury box waiting for your family to enjoy a nice snack afterwards.
And no security guard, you know, stopping your family from coming in. I would think with this type of signing, you could do Zoom. I would think that's low class. Get the guy there. If it means next week, then it's next week. Yeah. You need him.
And you know, Scott Boris is walking in, you know,
whatever,
throwing around his, you know what,
whatever. The Mets need to show this is not just getting a free agent. This is not just, you know, a big free agent. This is not just because you reset the market with the value of the dollar. You basically had a coup in New York.
Yeah.
You need to have this front and center. Don't do a Zoom.
All righty. Here's the latest update. I think we pretty much just covered it all anyway. But
hope so, because I didn't have any of these written. So we're going to go off the top of our head. Let's get to see what we got.
It's El Capitan, Marco Valetti, always telling you how it's done right.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
It's time to answer Ask the Pros question of the day. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. You have Sully in Vegas. I wonder who that is. Sully says, Zach, over under. 6 wins for Bill Belichick already in his first year at UNC. You could submit a question by tweeting at INF Sports Center at Zach Gelb using the hashtag Ask the Pros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Well, it's a tough question to answer because we don't know who's going to be on the coaching staff, who's going to be on the roster. But I could just look at the opponents. TCU, Charlotte, Richmond, UCF, California, NC State, Clemson, Duke, Stanford, Virginia, Syracuse, Wake Forest. I've seen enough. It's Bill freaking Belichick. Yeah, I'll take the over. If you're telling me it's at 6, I'll take the over that obviously bowl eligibility is 6, that he'll be able to get to 7. I saw Ralph Russo, who's covered college football for a long time, Associated Press, says this is a 3-year contract. It is a 3-year contract. Ralph Russo and Brendan Marks. It's a 3-year contract with UNC for $30 million. So this is the last stop, right, in the Bill Belichick coaching career? He turned 73 soon. He's 72 right now. So at the end of this deal, what, he's 76? You know, could he go coach somewhere in the NFL at 76, 77? Could he leave after a year? Sure. And maybe that's like, hey, you do this for a year, then an NFL team says, oh, yeah, Bill, well, you know, even though you won 6 Super Bowls now for some reason because you won a few games at UNC, we'll hire you. I guess it's still on the table. Who knows? But this is a fascinating one. And it's still kind of stunning that the next time we see Bill Belichick, it's going to be on a college football sideline. It's going to be at UNC. So shame on the Falcons for not hiring him last year. Jaguars, you didn't back channel to go bring him in. You know, what are you doing? But Bill Belichick is off to Chapel Bill. I love that from Schefter. All righty, fun show today. Big thanks to Hickey. Big thanks to Xavier Guillory for joining us as well. Jeff Monken, Botcher, good job. Stu, good job. Devin McCourty's going to join us tomorrow, so he'll have good perspective on Bill Belichick. We'll talk to you then at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific time. Bye-bye. We out. Peace.